Greetings, friends, and welcome to this broadcast of Bible Studies, Ken Berger speaker. Today on the broadcast, we come to the concluding study in our series on the voice of the Lord. Our theme throughout this series was taken from Psalm 29 and 4. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. And today on the broadcast, we want to talk about His voice of love, as expressed directly by Himself. First of all, we'll have to consider the Father's love. And then we will consider Christ's love to us as expressed by others. And then we will consider Christ's love for His own as expressed by His own lips, by His own voice. Now, the Father loves us, and we know that to be true. I think probably one of the best verses in the Bible is the best known verses of the Bible is John 3:16, and we see there the Father's love for us. Think of it, if you will, please. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. There's enough material in this verse to last out this broadcast in a whole series on this verse alone. Our Father's love. He loved us. Love always gives. And God so loved the world. He loved the world to the degree that His love has to be measured by His gift. What was His gift? It was His Son to die on the cross of Calvary for your sins and for mine, so that barrier could be removed and we could be taken to heaven. The moment that we put our trust in Christ, the Holy Spirit of God brings the life of Christ and puts that life within us. And so here we have the Father's love reaching its full fruition in the gift of His Son to you and to me. How majestic! The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. Can you think of anything that is more majestic than this? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life? Could anything be more majestic than that? And then, we have expressed in John, 1 John, the first epistle of John, same writer as wrote John 3:16, only his first epistle, chapter 4 and verse 10. There we read, "Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins." Here is the truth of John 3:16 re-expressed, only it's a little more intimate. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us. It's not the world this time. It's He loved us as individuals. And we need to see that God loved me as an individual and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. This is more intimate. This is closer to home. God the Father loved us. And then in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 and 5, there we read the wonderful words of the Apostle Paul. And he says there, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved." God, who is rich in mercy for His great love. You know, there are very, very few adjectives in the Bible. They're used very sparingly. Why? Because the Bible is a book of facts, and you don't need adjectives to adorn facts. But here is one. And in the book of Ephesians, there are more. I can't think of a book at the present moment in the Scriptures that has more adjectives in it, when you consider the length of the book, than the book of Ephesians. Herein is what God is rich in mercy, rather, for His great love, wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, for by grace are you saved. Then in Hebrews chapter 12, in verses 6 and 7, we have Him acting as a Father. And we read there, in the Epistle of Hebrews, I think written by the Apostle Paul, verse 6, "For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye then endure chastening, God dealeth with you as sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not?" God proves his love to us, and he's proven it to me in person by his chastening. I remember on one occasion, and I don't remember what the chastening was for, but God chastened me. And I said to myself, I have a father. I'm reminded of a story that I read recently about a little boy that was taken into a home where there were other children. He was a needy little boy. I don't know the circumstances of his case, but they took him into the family and adopted him. And they wanted him, he was just a little bit standoffish, if I may use that term, and he was just a little bit aloof. And they tried to be nice to him, and they pampered him, even at the expense of their own children. One day he came to the parents with an astounding statement. He says, "I don't think you love me like you love your other children." And they said, "What would make you say a thing like that?" And he says, "You don't spank me." You see, he was realizing the truth of Hebrews 12, 6 and 7 without perhaps even knowing it. Our Father loves us and he chastens us. And he chastens every son that he receives. He loves us, and he loves us so much, he will not let us go on a wrong course without correction, because it's going to be to our grief as well as to his dishonor. Now let's talk about Christ's love for his own as expressed for others. I think of that wonderful verse in the fifth chapter of Revelation, the fifth verse of the first chapter of Revelation, and John again is the speaker. And here it is. "Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood." Can you think of language more intimate, more majestic than that? "Unto him that loved us," and he gives the Christ the pin of praise. "Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood." Oh, the love of Christ to you and to me. And then there is a collective sense in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25, as spoken by Paul in connection with the church. "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it." I think that the church here presents, and you and I are in that church, if we believe in Christ, we're in his church. In the church, and the church is the bride of Christ, and she shares an intimacy with Christ that no one else of all the families of God can experience and enjoy. We are his own, his bride, and he indeed owns us. He has cleansed us with his own blood. How wonderful it is that he does that. And then now expressed by the Apostle Paul in Galatians 2 and 20, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." Isn't that a wonderful discovery? Christ loved me to the extent that he took my place on the cross, and he took your place on the cross. If you're a child of God, and you are that, if you've placed your faith in Christ. Now, let's let Christ express his love to us in his own words. That will make indeed the voice of love come alive to you and to me. The voice of the Lord is powerful, and love is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty, and love is majestic. In John chapter 15, we read there in verse 9, "As the Father hath loved me," and incidentally, Christ is the speaker. "As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you." Now, that little word "as" is in there. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you in the same degree. Now, how much did the Father love Christ? Oh, he loved him dearly. He called him his only begotten Son. And he loved him dearly. And Christ loves us with that same love. And then he says, continue in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love. Even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another, as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Here Christ is telling his own. You're my friends. I loved you, and I died for you. Now, what is significant here is the fact that this was spoken on the eve of our Lord's crucifixion. Our Lord Jesus Christ had gathered the Christians into the apostles into an upper room, and he says in John 13:1, John is the writer. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having left his own and the world, he loved them unto the end. The margin has it, unto the uttermost. And then he washed their feet and set an example that they should serve one another. Now, our Lord Jesus Christ, on this occasion, knew that he was going to go to the cross, and he knew what a shock that would be to his apostles. And so what does he do? He tells them, I love you. Oh, what a comfort to know that you're loved. What security, what peace it affords, what joy it arises in the heart. Just remember the Lord is saying in effect here, he loved them unto the uttermost. He's just saying in effect, I love you. Nothing can go wrong. His is the power and his is the love to preserve us. And he assures us this from his own lips, because this was to the apostles, the very foundation of the church, as Paul tells us in Ephesians 2:20. We're a part of that church. And that intimate relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ to share his love forever and forever. Our Father, today we thank you for the love of our Lord Jesus Christ. How majestic, how unselfish it is. We thank you in his name. Amen.